This is GM Authority Weekly, episode 58, recorded on February 12th, 2011. The Camaro ZL1 Show.
GM Authority Weekly is brought to you by the GM Authority News Desk. For the latest independent General Motors news, analysis, and a whole lot more, visit GMAuthority.com. You can subscribe to this podcast for free. Try searching for GM Authority Weekly in the iTunes Store.
It's time for GM Authority Weekly, the show for General Motors fans and enthusiasts and all sorts of GM freaks, if you will. From Colorado Springs, Colorado, I'm your host, Alex Luft, and on the line from Detroit, Michigan, or somewhere around there, as usual, is GM Authority Editor-in-Chief, Manoli Katakis. Hey, Manoli.
Hey, guys. Literally pretty much just got out of the car driving back from Chicago. I had a blast over there. Made a lot of friends, met a lot of new people, and everyone who I talked to during the week and was listening to this, thanks for a great time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about that in just a second, but I have one question for you. Did you bring the famous pizza back with you, and is it still hot?
No. I actually ate everything that was on my plate, and that was just
you
one reason.
Pig.
No, the second reason was that my hotel room didn't have a refrigerator.
Really?
Yes.
So did the folks
that
I'm not gonna
mention the name of the place I was staying at, but I will tell you that it's on East Harrison and Wabash. Anyway, the light switch in my bathroom broke off. Right? Yeah. So and like there was just all sorts of things, and like the top sheet of my bed always seemed to smell like feet.
Mm.
It's almost like they never washed it once. That was disgusting. And there was just so many other things. Like they listed ESPN as one of my channels in my hotel room. I didn't get ESPN.
Well, you have to pay extra for that, I think.
Well, but I got ESPN too.
Oh, okay. Well, the real question is whether you got ESPN 8, the Ocho.
The Ocho.
Exactly.
And see, I heard that's only in southern states.
We're going to talk about that in just a sec. But we also have one more guest. One more guest. He's not a guest. He's the GM Authority Opinion Desk writer from Ontario, Canada. Hilton Jorsen's here. Hey, Hilton.
Hi, guys. The opinionated opinionator.
Exactly. That's that should be your official title. We need to put that on your business cards.
Sure.
Opinionated opinionator. I'm going to write this down.
Okay. And then when, we go to all these shows and, I hand over the GM Authority card to all these GM guys, they're going to say, oh, it's you.
It's you. We've heard about you before.
Oh, now, you're that guy.
You don't have any recorders or anything like that with you, do you?
I heard that a few times during the week. Not the recording part, but, oh, you're that guy.
Oh, you're that guy. You're that guy.
Oh, you're the GM Authority guy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's good.
You know what? It is good. We tell it like it is.
I probably smiled. I said yes, and it's great to meet you.
With a big
and then
smile.
We hung out. And then we hung out at Buddy Guy's, and we saw Buddy Guy, the blues legend,
ooh,
play. Cool. Yeah, and we drank Goose Island 312 ale like it was. Like we got paid to do that.
Uh-huh.
You drank it for free.
You put your bottles in the Aya.
It was. Bottoms up, bottoms up.
Put your hands up. Or is that this different song? I don't know. Something like that. Well, obviously, the Chicago Auto Show is just beginning for the regular, the people.
The masses.
The masses. But Manoli just came back from the press preview. So let's talk about what everyone wants to hear about. Undoubtedly, it's the 550 horsepower Chevy Camaro ZL1.
Do we have to?
Wait a minute. It's not a Z28.
Unfortunate. Well, it depending on how you're looking at it, it's either unfortunately, yes, or unfortunately, no.
Well, here's my question. Before we even get there, is Z28 spelled Z28 just the way it sounds, or is it spelled Z/28?
Yeah, or Z-28.
Because I've seen it probably 14 different variations. Looking at
the original Z28 badge had no dash. It was just a capital Z and then the number 28.
Okay.
Well, there was a slash. There was a slash.
And the original 1967? Oh, was there a slash on the on the body?
Uh huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So. But then, you know, over the years, it did change the you know, there, for a while in the 70s, it actually became Z-28 on the car. And then in 19, you know, in the third generation, you know, you had the IROC Z, and then it just became a Z-28, and there was no dash, no slash. So it's had a whole bunch of different iterations. Originally, it's just...
Yeah. Sorry. There's an article in Jalopnik that's got Z28 listed as with the slash and just with no dash and no slash.
Yeah, a whole bunch of discrepancies, but I can't believe we're talking about this when we do have this amazing machine to talk about. The spelling variation is kind of... I'm sorry for bringing it up. I apologize. So so we have the LSA engine. Should I even go over the specs? Does anybody not know what the specs are?
Yeah, go over it.
Okay.
Basically, if you... Well, to make it simple for y'all, it's a Cadillac CTS-V on a Zeta platform and Camaro shell.
Excellent. Excellent analogy.
That's I mean, it's got the magnetic
ride control.
Slip dip, yeah, ride control. What, magnetic slip differential, mm-hmm. or is that the same thing?
No.
Okay. It's got the LSA engine.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the racing suspension, just like similar to – I think it's the same setup as a CTS-V.
Yep. Electric power steering.
Electric power steering.
Oof.
And basically a whole bunch of things that will kind of help the ZL1 cope with the Camaro's basically, you know, body mass compared to cars like the Shelby GT500, which is going to be its chief rival.
Well, what do you mean by that? Is the Shelby a lot lighter?
Isn't it significantly lighter?
Yeah,
I thought it was only lighter by about 200 pounds.
That's significant.
I think it's 3.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? I can't. I'd be surprised if this car is lighter than, you know, your standard 2SS Camaro. You know, you've got a supercharger on there. You've got everything heavy duty. So you know, the axles are bigger. The brakes are bigger.
Well, the thing is that Chevy didn't announce in its press release and specifications, curb weight to be determined. How convenient.
I don't think they had it step on the scale yet. It's scared.
Oh, it's scared. It's scared. It wants to go on a South Beach diet first.
South Beach diet, Atkins diet.
No,
whatever,
no Atkins,
whatever
please.
Diet.
That will just be mad. Yeah, South Beach diet is better. Atkins diet makes you mad because you avoid the carbohydrates. So, you know, you kind of need those to function and think, and you know, that kind of negates the purpose.
Look at this guy.
Look at that guy.
Look at this guy.
Apparently, he was a personal trainer or something before.
Yeah, Alex left a personal trainer.
Wow, you would never think. So,
tell me more. This is, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Alex Left infomercial.
Nope, I think we should call this the Health Authority. Health Authority Weekly.
Write that down.
Yeah, I got to get the domain before somebody else does after hearing the show. So, we were expecting a Z28. Then
I don't think the ZL1 has any weight saving properties on it.
Well, it does have what do you call it?
The hood.
The hood, yeah. Which saves like what, maybe 3.5 pounds?
Four? Maybe.
4.5? It's kind of like water weight. I don't know. I love everything about this car. I love the way it looks. I love the ground effects. I love the hood. Obviously, this is the Camaro's Camaro.
This is the ultimate Camaro.
Right.
The range-topping Camaro. But yeah. The most powerful Camaro ever made.
Here's the question. I think Lingofelter would like to differ, but
stock Camaro.
Yes. And that you're right. So here's my question. Are we going to see anything above this car? Is there going to be a Z28? Because I'll tell you what, when the press release came out, I was browsing, I was perusing the GM media page where they post all the photos of this car. And, you know, I was vehemently downloading these things to put it up for our dear readers or listeners for their, leisurely perusal. And what I saw, just kind of out of the corner of my eye, there was basically an exploded view of the LSA engine. And, you know, had all the parts broken down, and they were kind of laying out as if you'd taken the engine apart. And at the bottom, it said, oh, this is called the Z28 engine. The LSA in the Camaro Z28. So immediately I thought, what the? This must be a typo. But, you know, nevertheless, I still published the story. So was that a Freudian slip, or was that just a simple mistake?
Well, according to Jalopnik, the Z28 is still coming.
So what's that going to be?
I guess Chevrolet wants us to think that they want our input before they really go forward with this kind of car.
So I think from what we've heard so far, our input would be go on a diet.
I think that's the notion.
Okay.
Yeah, and because they're looking at what Ford is bringing out on the Mustang, and you know the Boss 302 car. I mean, obviously that's the Z28 competitor, and that's a lightened up GT.
So what we have here is, let me just make sure I get this, the competition correct. We have the V6 to the V6 Camaro V6 Mustang. That's pretty simple. We have the SS Camaro to the Mustang GT. That's pretty simple, right? So the ZL1, does it go against the GT500?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So then supposedly whatever is above the ZL1 would be the Z28, and that would compete with the Boss 302.
Well, on a technical standpoint, the Shelby is the top of the line Mustang. The Boss 302, it doesn't have that 550 horsepower motor, does it, Hilton?
No.
Yeah, it's a more of a performance oriented Mustang with the power to weight ratio on a more even keel.
You know, I kind of look. Sorry, go ahead.
Which is, I mean, it's a good thing for a car that heavy in the muscle car, you know, segment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of look at it as the Z28 is going to be, you know, its own little niche. It's going to be a lighter product. It's not going to be big on comfort features in terms of, heads-up display, rear camera. Maybe even strip out the RS, all this fluffy stuff.
What if they take out the rear seats?
Well, I suggested that, they have a track pack option where it strips out the rear seats, strips out the insulation, it strips out the caulking in it. I mean, this is a true car for racing, and you'll save a couple 200 pounds right there. Mm-hmm. So, strip out the RS, radio delete, air conditioning delete, there's weight people for the track are not going to want. And, talk is really about what this Z28 is going to be under the hood. Now, yeah, is it going to be an LSA? I think they're leaning towards possibly the upcoming 5.5 for the car. And, that engine that's in a lightened up Camaro with the suspension and brakes of the ZL1 would be a fantastic package.
What if it was a LS7?
Well, I mean, that's an option too. But the thing is, if you go back to 1969 when they actually had the ZL1, it was always, the more powerful, more expensive car. So with the, and the Copo Camaro with the 427, 425 horsepower versus the Z28. The Z28 was cheaper. It was rated with less horsepower. It certainly didn't have the torque of the 427 big block. Yet it was more successful. So there is a enthusiastic community, especially the racing group of people who would love to see a very, you know, car that's built for performance, not as much on creature comfort. Something like, I'm not saying exactly, but that SSX that they showed at SEMA last year, mm-hmm. You know, start with something like that and, you know, consider what engine. You know, the suspension components, the braking, they have already got that. It's just a matter of what do you want to put under the hood.
Right.
There were some takes at the auto show among journalists that they were saying that the ZL1 doesn't look aggressive enough.
Well, that's what a lot of the enthusiast community is saying. You know, a lot of them were, you know, everybody just loves the mechanical side, the engineering side of the package. Nobody has any qualms about that. They hit a home run there. But, you know, in terms of the aggressiveness of the look, it's just not different enough from between the SS and the ZL1. And sure, the hood's pretty cool, and mm-hmm. you know, the wheels are cool, and but you know, a lot of people saying, I mean, Manoli, you were there, so you can talk about it, but a lot of people are saying you know, that the front fascia is just, you know, for one thing, those lower fog lights, you know, the daytime running lights in that air duct there. I mean, personally, I was just like, find a way to get rid of that crap and just make it, you know, brake cooling ducts. I know there's brake cooling ducts underneath that, but you know, would have been nicer if it was that, and it would have been nicer to see a ZL1 specific grill. Which would be very similar to the lower grill. You know what they did? You take a good look at how they did the lower grill. It's something similar to the grill on the new Sonata, the Hyundai Sonata, where it's kind of wavy, mm-hmm. the lines, and just to do something that, you know, the top grill would match the lower grill and be different from, you know, the standard Camaro would have been nice to see. And then the back of the car. I mean, it looks cool with the quads coming out the back, but and the spoiler. But you know, I would have liked to see something a little bit different back there.
Well, I want to kind of interject here and offer my opinion. I think if you look at the Ford lineup, when I think the Mustang is just leaps and bounds less attractive than the Camaro, you know, is, and I think that will be the case for the. You know, for the foreseeable future. But, and obviously that's quite subjective, but, you know, if you look at something like the GT500, it's ugly to me. It looks ugly. It's
not to me.
Really?
Yeah, in my opinion,
it's too much. Like, the styling of the GT500 with that, you know, gaping front grill and that, I don't even know how to describe those.
Yeah, but when you look at the GT500, you know right away that Mustang means business. When you look at this Camaro ZL1, most people wouldn't really know it's a ZL1 until you get close to it.
I think that a Camaro in general means business. You know, the styling of the Camaro in general is such that there's only so much. It's so perfect that there's only so much room for improvement. You know, and I think they've done everything and anything they could here. You know, besides you know, the things that Hilton mentioned.
Well, remember that talk we had about fanboys before the show, Alex?
Am I a fanboy now?
I'm not going to say nothing.
All right.
But
you don't need to say anything to say something.
I know. The Mustang, especially the GT500, I would say right now looks better than what the ZL1 does. Yeah. I was hoping for, and I think it really needs a different grill in the front fascia on the top. Maybe something along the lines of even the new Synergy series that's going to come out, where it's kind of smaller, doesn't take up the whole face of the Camaro, mm-hmm. and it looks better. And in my opinion,
or the grill from the Lano car,
yeah. But I don't know what they would do in the back.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe a huge ass wing spoiler.
No. Oh yeah, I got an idea for you. How about you just take the spoiler off the Mitsubishi Evo? and stick it on there. Or well, how about the spoiler off of the SSX?
Yeah, a little bit too racer. Yeah. But you know, like you guys say, I mean, what needs to be done is not, it's not a difficult thing. Like the all the difficult stuff is done in terms of powertrain, all the testing to it. It's just cosmetic. You know, that's, you know, come up with a very striking striping package, like Noli said, a good grill. You know, get rid of the six lights in the front. You know, and just clean it up a little bit, and I think it looked great. You know, a lot of other people suggested, hey, you know, what'd be neat is to offer it in the exclusive color. So maybe you can get, like, you know, very, I mean, you know, they've done a great job in offering very sharp colors for the Camaro in general, but you know, maybe they can offer up something really flashy, you know, or well, striping.
I don't think they offer enough.
Hilton, I know you want that pink, but it's not coming.
Yeah, you know, if I had a 1970, a pink 1970 Hemi Cuda convertible, I take that, no problem.
I don't think anyone would knock you for it either.
No.
Well,
I mean, in my opinion, the Hemi Cuda is probably the best looking muscle car of its time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Maybe in green though. I wouldn't take it in pink.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing though. I Manoli, I understand that you feel differently, but honestly, and this is not, you know, fanboy or, you know, I love the way that even before the ZL1, you know, made its debut, I loved the way the Camaro looks. I still love the Camaro looks, the way the Camaro looks. And at that point, I could not have thought of anything different that GM or Chevy could have done to make the Camaro look any better. Now that I see the ZL1, this looks better, and I don't know how much further they can take it. So I just want to, you know, really emphasize how great this car looks to me. And I really don't want them to do anything else, because it seems to me that anything else they would do would only, you know, it only take away from this beautiful design.
If you like the way the car looks, just wait till you hear how the car sounds when they fired that thing up. After the press conference, a couple of GM guys fired it up. Oh my goodness, you could hear the thing from outside.
That's what I call bone chilling. Exhaust.
I was just walking around in McCormick Place, and I was on like the far side. I was on your, and it's like, whoa, what is going on? And you know, eventually I made my way back over there. I knew it was the Camaro, just because, you know, what other car? The SRT8 wasn't being presented yet, so there was really no other car that someone would want to just play around with.
It was the Prius.
That's it. No, it was the Leaf.
Oh, no, yeah, it was the Leaf with the speaker emulating sound, the engine sound.
You know, they had the Nissan Leaf was there, but unlike the Volt, where there was literally, I think I counted 10 Chevy Volts at the Chevy exhibit. They had, I think, three or four of them driving around in this little track where you could sit down like inside, and someone would drive you around a couple of loops, and they would talk about it like you were clueless. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're just rehearsing, getting ready for the public, and just putting it on the journals. That's the way I like to see it.
Sir, the Chevrolet Volt is an EREV, also known as the Extended Range Electric Vehicle.
Oh, and it has OnStar.
There is an engine here, and it is powered by gasoline, which is this interesting mixture of fuel and petroleum and water. You know.
Anyway, the Nissan Leaf.
Thanks, Manoli. Thanks. I appreciate it.
The Nissan Leaf was just on a display, and you couldn't touch it, you couldn't sit inside it. It was, I mean, totally cut off from people wanting to get inside and engage with it. Nissan, they did have the new GTR though. You did get to sit in that.
Is it new?
The 2012 GTR. It's got an updated engine.
Mm.
And the launch control, they said, won't break on you this time.
Oh wow.
And have you Motor Trend clocked the new 2012 GTR with launch control at 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's got to hurt the stomach a little
that's
bit.
That's knucking futz. That's the second – that's the third fastest car they've ever tested.
Behind what?
I think the Veyron and
– so that thing grips the road with that all-wheel drive, huh?
How much horsepower? I don't know off the top of my head. It's just the way that the computer does the launch control is nuts. And when you see a video of it using the launch control, it literally looks like a fighter plane taking off an aircraft carrier. That's how fast it looks to the eye. It's just like, and it kind of has like this roar to it. This like jet growl too. It's honestly something you got to watch for yourself. It's mind blowing how quick it goes off.
It still looks like crap.
Looks like crap, but for $90,000, nothing comes close.
Right.
Oh, you can get an Ariel Atom, but the Ariel Atom doesn't come with airbags and a windshield. or a stereo system.
Right. Yeah, for that matter. Well, let's move on to
one more comment about the Z.
Oh, we're not done with that. I want to talk about the interior, but what were you going to
exactly.
say?
Exactly. Ah. Well, that's what I want to talk about.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah. Fools seldom like differ.
Yeah.
I did get to sit inside the ZL1.
Yeah. And?
I like the new shifter a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it definitely feels a lot better in your hand than the old one.
How about the pedals?
To me, they felt just about the same. Okay. I thought the clutch was really heavy, though.
Well, it's but a then dual again, clutch.
But maybe it's just the pre-production thing.
Plus, you got to wear that thing in a few times.
Yeah.
But how was it comfortable?
Felt like an SS. The seats didn't change. The steering wheel I like more, though.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the one thing that. It's probably the biggest complaint to enthusiasts is they're turned off by the steering wheel. I think the one thing that, it's the 2010, 2011 steering wheel, the issue was, the actual part that you put your hands on is oval in shape, with respect to the feel.
It's
so
like
when you're
triangular.
Clutching on, well, it's just got this really odd, feel to it. So if you're driving long distances, and I've driven my fifth gen for a fairly long distance, your hands tend to get tired after a while. So a lot of people complained, and Chevrolet said, okay, we're going to change that steering wheel. And what they put there is not getting a lot of kudos from the enthusiast community. For one thing, a lot of people are turned off by the suede interior in the ZL1, but people have to realize that's an option. Standard interior is leather. If you get the leather seats, your right. steering wheel will be leather.
The wheels, I think, is optional as well.
The wheel is a suede wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get the suede interior, you get the suede wheel. If you get the leather interior, you get the leather wheel.
Right.
But the center part of the wheel is what people don't seem to like. They don't like that, pulled out of the cruise and put in the Camaro. They seem to be turned off by that.
It looks just like the cruise's steering wheel.
Yeah.
At least the middle piece.
Well, and so do the buttons. Those buttons look, you got a wheel looks just like a sports wheel. Like this wheel looks like it belongs in a race car, And you look at those cruise control and radio control buttons, and mm-hmm. they look, again, just like they look in my cruise, but it looks like a toy at this point. You got a suede wheel with these plastic, cheap-ass plastic-looking buttons.
Yeah, well, I would like to see, all they need to do is improve the rim on the wheel that's in my car. So, the center part of it and the three-spoke design, and the round centerpiece with the Camaro written on it or whatever, that was nice. you know, all they have to do is just put a normal rim on the thing and call it a day. But, you know, I think they did put a very nice, great rim on it, but now people don't like the center part. So, you know. I think people will just get used to it after a while. I mean, the thing is to have a good steering wheel in there that you can hold on to the car and be comfortable. Your hands will be comfortable after 4 hours of driving or 2 hours of racing. It's nice in that way. And I like that D type steering wheel where it's cut at the bottom because, you know, that makes a difference. You know, when you're sitting in there and, it's just that much more clearance for you, so I like it.
Yeah,
and I have no, like, you know, the interior wise, I have no complaints about it. You know, don't get the suede if you don't want it.
Right. Well, my question is, how will this look with the leather? Because if you notice that piece all the way to the right in the in front of the passenger, that dash area that was the source of so many complaints, you know, before this car came out, that for being, you know, everything from too plain to just plain old ugly. Now they have that suede part. It's kind of like a cut piece going across, you know, all the way up to the AC vent over there. How is that going to look with the leather? Is that still going to be there? Or is that going to be?
That's still going to be there. That's still going to be there. And, you know, that's basically the look of the dash for, you know, all 2012 Camaros. So,
okay.
You know, and if you order a 1LS or 1LT that doesn't have leather, for example, you know, you're going to still get that fake stitch, but it's going to be plastic, you know, like it is now, but you're going to have that little fake stitch seam come across.
Well, as long as something breaks up that, you know.
Yeah.
The gray.
The big space, yeah.
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 Which I didn't find it to be that bad after a while, you know.
I hated it when I was driving a Camaro, I hated it.
Really? Like, was that really that big of an issue for you?
Yeah, just for the fact that, I mean, when I'm inside of a car, I think I care more about how the interior of a car feels than how it looks on the outside, just because you're not spending the time driving a car on the roof. You know, you're spending in the cabin, you're spending, you know, yeah, I know, Captain Obvious, right? Oh. But it's just, I really care about comfort. And all these and ergonomics and aesthetics and all these things. Now I think that maybe the gauge cluster in the middle of I might have lost for words here, sorry.
Console?
Yeah. The console in front of the stick there, I think that it looks awesome just because it's got that whole retro take to it. But look, if you're looking down at it all the time, yeah, it's a little distracting, but you know, you're not really looking at your oil pressure as much as you're looking at the speedometer.
Yeah, that's you're exactly right. For a race car, that, you know, the critical information has to be right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. But again, like, you know, when the 2010 Camaro first came out, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm looking off to the right of the car, and it's just all I see is just gray plastic paneling, and it was just, I mean. Yeah, I've seen better interiors in a stripped Cobalt, for instance.
Well, what if that area wouldn't have been plastic? What if it would have been, leather?
Not even soft touch leather. I like it when you can get the paneling that matches the exterior color. That looks awesome. Like, for instance, you get it in the Synergy series, and I think now it's an option. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can get it in pretty much in any color.
Yeah, but not that black part, though. It's just that plastic trim. What I'm talking about is that big gray part that now has that stitch on it.
Yeah, below that part.
Below the plastic part. Yeah. What if that part wore a, the soft touch leather?
Switch it up. Make it a different color.
Oh, so it's just a color thing. It seems like for you.
To me, it's a color thing. It's also a texture thing, and it's just like how sexy it is, and when it's just one color. For in that much space, you don't really see that in like any other GM car. For instance, when you sit in the interior of a Cadillac, and I know I'm comparing Cadillac to a Chevy, and maybe that's wrong, but maybe I'm making a point here at the same time. When you're looking across the dash, it's even like, say, a Cadillac Escalade. You have this wood trim that even the wood trim changes color in the wood. Like, it goes from light brown, you know, to like really like a mahogany. and then it switches.
Well, just use the cruise for an example.
Yeah, use the cruise.
Yeah.
And Alex, you have a cruise. Is there really that much negative space going on inside the interior?
Oh no, absolutely not. The interior, there's nothing wrong with the interior at all, except for the play pause button that we talked about before. But no, from a design and aesthetic standpoint, the cruise interior is absolutely perfect. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know how they change the color, like the color of the dash insert. Is generally the same color as your inner door panels and your seats. It's the same sort of thing with the Verano. It's the same type of thing.
Right, yeah. What I have is I have the black interior, I think they call it ebony. And basically what I have that mesh on the all over the front, and it continues around the doors as well. And then everywhere else is just black. But it's that mesh in the passenger, right in front of the passenger, the front passenger, it does a perfect, it strikes a perfect balance between, having kind of a continuous design as well as breaking up that huge vast of black space.
So, yeah, well, they did the same thing with the Corvette. So, maybe something like that people would have found more appealing. Who knows? But, the one thing to remember is, this whole colored pieces that Manoli was talking about, like, when you had the Synergy Green, that Synergy Green Special Edition that came with that green strip on the inside, and the door panel in the centerpiece was that same color green. There is a light that was supposed to go across the top of the dash of that strip, and it continues in the doors. Well, the light in the doors are still there, but they haven't finished the light in the dash. And what that was supposed to do is actually not only have this little light stream coming across the top of these plastic pieces, but ambience. It would also shine down into that plastic piece to give you this ambiance that is missing. So I think if that existed, people would have a totally different opinion of that vastness that exists in the 2011, 2010 Camaros.
Right,
so,
right.
I think now this is their, what they came out with, and it's too bad that people only saw the suede, because a lot of people just don't like suede, but they're thinking in terms of, practicality. Well, we all, real suede, if you, after 80,000 miles, it looks like a leather jacket. But, if this is, I don't know if this is, fake suede or what, but,
Manoli, what's the material they use in the CTS-V? It's not real suede, is it? It's a mixture. It's like a combination of suede and something else.
Like a synthetic suede?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're using here as well. I'd be surprised if they're using something else, because, it makes sense for them to use that same material. Like you said, Manoli, this is really a CTS-V on a Zeta platform.
I want, and speaking of which, I do kind of want to see a CTS-V and a ZL1 kind of go head-to-head to see which platform is more or less got the upper hand and things.
Well, here's my question to you. From the looks perspective.
Oh, God, CTS-V coupe, hands down.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I'd take the Camaro.
No, it's not even a debate.
Wow. Hilton, how about you?
I do this. Well, I'm a Camaro guy. But I would do CTS-V coupe over this ZL1.
Posers.
Especially, posers.
You guys are posers, trying to get the caddy and Chevy.
How's that a
poser?
No,
it's just, you know what? The caddy, it's the whole package works together. The drivetrain is just as incredible as the interior, which is just as incredible as the exterior. You can't say that about the ZL1.
I wouldn't put the interior on the same level as the exterior or the driving characteristics.
Well, I'll tell you what. You guys may call me a communist or whatever you want after this, but the CTS coupe is not – the more I look at it, the more I dislike it.
Get out of here.
Seriously. I just don't like it. It's like a hatchback.
It's a fastback.
No, I like hatches, but not when it's implemented the way that they did that on that coupe. No. You know, if you want to give it, if you want to make it a coupe, look at the Camaro. It's got that three box. You know, a coupe to me should look like a sedan with two doors.
The CTS coupe. The CTS coupe and the Camaro are both two of the most original designs GM has ever come up with.
Sure.
Probably, you know, the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. Easily, you know, hands down. But you definitely, in a taste perspective, I've got to go with the coupe. It's more exotic looking. It's more aggressive looking. Modern looking.
Maybe exotic and aggressive. I'm sorry, maybe exotic and modern, but not aggressive.
No.
I'd take you up on that.
Especially the V model, and not just the V, but the V Black Diamond, which is also at the auto show.
Well, how much is that?
$69,000.
Okay, wait. We didn't discuss one part of this ZL1 price.
Undisclosed, but I'm thinking 49, 48, 49, which is the same as the GT500.
Hilton, what do you think?
I said 52, 53.
So the because
it's all done walking out the door. Yeah.
Well, my question. So first of all, this car that we see here, it's the ZL1. It's got the RS package on it. My question is, will it come with this RS package? Standard.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Good. Second question is, is it going to come standard with leather? Will it come standard with, you know, if not, how much for the suede? If it comes standard with cloth, that's kind of a ripoff to me.
No, it's high end. Like, you know, there's very few options on this car. Mm-hmm. So it comes with RS. It comes with leather standard. You cannot get a sunroof right now. You cannot get automatic.
How about a cigarette lighter?
I don't know.
How about a mullet grower?
It comes with a rear view camera. The NPP exhaust is standard. Mm-hmm. The wheels are standard. Tires are standard. I mean, the only thing really that you can in order is that suede interior. So, you know, it comes loaded. It comes with everything you'd want in a high priced Camaro. It's got the power. It's got the, you know, the creature comfort. So,
which one of those lamps in the front is the daytime running? Is it the upper or the lower?
I would say it's the upper, and the lowers are the fogs.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I love this car. I love this. This is going to be my next car.
Do you like that? Do you like that lighting treatment out there at the bottom of the fascia?
Yeah, I love it.
I like it too. And actually, they kind of look like they're about to shoot something out of them.
Like a James Bond cannon.
Yeah. No, they really do though. They look like they're about to. They look like torpedo launchers.
Pew pew pew.
I don't know. I you know, when I for me, that's why I guess I kind of like the fact that, well, not a fact, but the rumor that a Z may still be coming is that, you know, when you have a performance car, I want it to be more about performance, and everything else, the fluffy stuff, I couldn't care less.
So you want cross support cross beams in that thing, and no passenger or rear seat. You probably want the steering wheel in the middle. And
you don't have to do that drastic of a thing, but I mean, you know, when you look at this car and for a Z28 came in 1969, and you can get, you know, for one thing, you couldn't get an air conditioning in it. You couldn't get an automatic transmission in it. You can get air conditioning delete. You can get heater delete. You can get radio delete. You know, you can lighten up the car yourself. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to see that as an option.
Well, here's my question. Would you keep the airbags?
Well, for me, if you...
What if you were to trade the airbags for a 5-point harness system?
I would.
How about a big metal steering wheel?
Well, look at it this way. If
let's take out power steering while we're at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If it's a track package, why not? Like, make a real track package available to people.
Do you think that will be worth it for them?
I think so, because if you really look at it, you can probably make money off a track package if you're offering less content.
Yeah, but it, the only thing is that they have to kind of reconfigure that stuff and the line.
Yeah, I know how it all, you know, I know the more configurations they have to a product, you know, more of a headache it is. But, you know, if you can do something where you can, you know, simplify or lighten up the car or allow people to lighten it up themselves in an easy way, then and still be it's the warranty still be valid, then, you know, offer that up.
Okay. Well, I think that's I think that there is a market for that, and I think that it would be a smart idea for them to make it. I just I hope that it's possible for them to do so, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, even stuff like, you know, no spare tire, you know, no trunk mats.
Hand crank windows. You
know, well, that would be, actually, that would be a pain in the ass for them, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now they don't have, you know, they'd have to design or engineer all that shit. They don't do it right now.
Right.
So, you know, but you know, you got the general general idea.
Right.
I mean, do you need that center console? Do you need those gauges where it is?
Well, you know, I'm thankful that they didn't put them into that the driver's information center. Otherwise, you'd have to sit there and scroll through all that information, and who wants to do that if they're racing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe, you know, that, like, if you have, you know, heads up display in a race car, you know, put all the good stuff available in there, or like what a race car driver would want to see.
Yeah, that's true. And you can display a lot more information in that heads-up display than you could in that center information package, or a driver's information package.
Yep.
So, all right. So, Manoli.
And it, just for the price, you know, I say $52.53 just because the GT 500 is around 49. I think it's 48.5, but. Chevrolet generally always prices their Camaros more than the Mustang, and they sell the value aspect of it. Secondly, you know, they got the magnetic suspension, they've got the better brakes, they've got the better, bigger tires, they got the well, I mean, the Mustang has a decent stereo exhaust setup as well, but there's enough in there. I don't know if you ever priced a set of good Brembo brakes lately, but
oh, yeah,
there's enough in there to warrant a couple of grand more than the GT 500. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's how it came out, 52.53.
Yeah.
Now, what does that do? Like, you know, the other thing too is, let's assume that they come to market at 47, you know, and you know, and then somebody goes out and buys a CTS-V at, you know, 62, and this ZL1 whips his ass. You know, what's that going to do for your Cadillac customer?
Yeah, I don't. You know, I don't know if so. It's just. I think the Caddy customer is just more of a, you know, just a different type. They may not be one of Cadillac and a Chevy.
Yeah, yeah. The ZL1 fan and the Cadillac fan are they're definitely a little. They have different tastes,
different breeds.
Yeah. whether or not you're going to get the same end result, it's also how you get there.
Right.
Do you guys think this car will impact Z06 sales?
That's a very good question.
That's a big possibility. But the Z06 doesn't really sell in high numbers anyway. And those that buy Z06s are usually not looking for Camaros.
And they're also diehards.
Well, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. And I've wondered this myself a lot. And what I've really let it come down to is this. Camaros, they're muscle cars. We all know how they drive. It's a car. You sit on the car. Okay, you sit, you know, you drive the car. A Corvette, on the other hand, it's a sports car. You sit in the car. You're like, it's a different type of driving experience.
I bet you if the ZL1 and the Z06 maybe race against each other, I bet you the Z06 would come on top.
Yeah.
Even though it has 50 less horses.
Right, and it's obviously an older vehicle, older platform, older mechanics, and tech. But it's just such a different driving experience. Like I said, you're, you know, instead of sitting on the car like you do in the Camaro, you sit in the car. You're not sitting on top of the platform. You're almost sitting on the floor of a Corvette, you know, and the handling points, they're just the turning points, they're just so different. You know, the car basically turns around you in the Corvette, whereas in the Camaro, you're turning the car. You feel, you know, it's a more of a traditional feel. So I think it's just different breeds. But, you know, now that there's this option and it will come in significantly, you know, significantly undercut the Z06 in price, I don't know. It's a hard choice. It's a hard choice for me. All right, well, I think we've talked
enough. You've Camaro'd the hell out of me.
We've Camaro'd the hell out of all of us.
I mean, seriously, I've seen that thing for 2 days. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Let's talk
about...
Well,
all I've got to say is one last thing is that, you know, for what we see, it's great, but we need to know the price, we need to know the weight, and we need to know the performance numbers.
Right.
And none of that's coming for at least half a year.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So it definitely took best in show.
So when is this coming out, Manoli? Manoli? You there?
Yeah, I can't think off the top of my head.
I think it's
January 1st. They're taking orders Q4.
Right.
Yeah, Q4. Yeah, that's right. January 1st, 2012 is when it starts production. So you're looking, sometime in the first quarter?
Oh, so yeah. Yep.
January, early February.
Right. That would not make it the fall. Okay. Well, since we are all Camaro'd out, let's talk about something that's kind of a polar opposite of the Camaro. Let's talk about the Buick Verano Turbo.
Maybe we should have started with that one.
So Manoli, the Verano kind of made a very sneaky appearance, if you will, at the show.
Yeah, no, I mean, that thing came in without even as much as a presser. And
no fanfare, huh?
No, I think we're the only ones that wrote about it.
Well, we got picked up by a couple of other, but we were the originators of the story. So the Turbo, this is obviously, you know, a Verano, this is a turbo package. This is the 2-liter turbo, the low output, I believe.
All I was told is got a 2-liter turbo, and they wouldn't even let me pop the hood.
Wow.
So they will disclose the displacement, but they don't want to hint at the output.
Okay. Well, if it's 220 horsepower, it's the low output. If it's 250 or above, it's the high output. Let's put it that way.
I'm also here. The thing about the Verano, and this is, I don't know if we covered this when we first saw it at NIAS, but the stick shift in the base model is going to be an option.
Oh, really?
Standard as an automatic, yes.
That is very good news.
Second is that the turbo variant is going to come with the manual because they figured that there are still Buick enthusiasts. And maybe a few of them are looking for maybe a little bit more, basically, what a Cruze SS should be.
Well, you sat inside of this thing.
I loved the interior.
Okay.
I did. I absolutely loved it. Like they used the same leather that they do in the LaCrosse, but what really sold me was the color of the leather and the interior of the. A turbo.
Did they have the cashmere one in there?
Is that the brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
well,
green.
They don't call it cashmere. They're like calling it like chocachino, mochaccino. I'm dead serious. It's something completely cheesy and coffee related that you don't want to say out loud.
So we call it the Starbucks special.
Frappuccino, but it looks great. Like it looks absolutely great. I've never seen that kind of leather color or maybe even like the feel of this kind of leather in a compact segment luxury car, not even like an Audi or a BMW. Like this thing was definitely, it was plush. And when you close the door, it was a almost like a dull thud. I mean,
bank vault?
It wasn't not to the degree of say a bank vault.
Okay.
But when you close it, it wasn't just like, you know, the rattling like bang that you would usually get on an entry level car. This thing, I mean, it closed and it was just like a boom.
I'll tell you what, they started out with a good platform. They started out with a good bass. I mean, the cruise that when you close the door on mine, it sounds like a Lexus IS. It doesn't sound like your typical run of the mill Corolla, Civic, or Nissan Sentra. So they had a very good, you know, base vehicle to start with, and obviously they've added some sound isolation and some high quality components. They've obviously it's different styling.
Definitely, when I sat inside of it, I, you know, you usually when you're outside when in the auto show, you can hear the commotion, you can hear things. You know, it's all this white noise, this background noise. I sit inside, and it's literally like a. I described it when I wrote about it as a realm of solitude, and it really was. And even though it's a compact car. Even though it's got all these things kind of working against it in the perceptions of people's minds that you're not really going to get the quality of, you know, say, the same kind of qualities of interior refinement as a more full-size vehicle, this thing just, I mean, it kicks those stereotypes right to the curb.
Right.
I sitting in it really impressed me, but I really don't know if they're going to sell that much just because it's a Buick. I'm not sure just how many enthusiasts or people that are really looking for maybe some pep in their step are going to go for a Buick Verano Turbo.
Right. Or well, I even think the Verano by itself will be a success.
Yeah, especially when you're selling it with the automatic. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that's going to kill it is the gas mileage. It's not where it should be.
Yeah.
That's the only, in my opinion, that's the only disappointing thing. Now, it looks decent. It's subtle looking. My only gripe about the Verano's exterior are the ass brows.
I like the ass brows.
I'm not a fan of them.
You're just not you guys are just not ass brows guys, that's all.
Oh, 3 inches too long.
Yeah, they need to be plucked or something.
Now, Manoli, coming back to the interior real quick, what do you think of those door handles? I know we have a picture of them on the site. First of all, if you look at something like the Chevy Cruze, the door handles are inside of the that paneling where the window switches are, whereas the Verano has this big kind of handle looking thing that you pull, and it's a vertical handle. How do those look in real life? Good.
Pardon what?
What, I have to repeat what I just said?
Something about a door handle?
Really? Oh, you just don't want to talk about it, don't you?
Something about a door handle now?
You don't like the door handles?
It's a door handle, dude.
But it's not just a door handle. Here's the difference. So you have, you know, a Lexus IS that has the same type of door handles. You have the Acura TSX has got those vertical door handles as well. I'm wondering whether this is a trend in that segment. Because they didn't have to do this. They could have just gone with the regular, you know, the handles like they have in the Cruze, you know, the pockets. There seems to be something going on in this segment where people seem to prefer these, you know, vertical-looking things. I know it's not an exciting subject for you, but it's interesting. It's caught my attention.
And to be honest with you, the door was open for me.
Oh.
So I didn't really get to grab it.
You know, that's a perfect setup for one of our offline jokes, but I'm not going to say anything.
So those door handles, though, is it basically, you know, you just grab it and you pull it, right? I mean, it sounds, no kidding, duh, but, you know, you put your hand in it, in the little pocket, and then you pull on it. Like, Mercedes has been doing this forever.
Right.
You know, all the 80 Mercedes had the same concept.
Those vertical type handles?
Yeah.
So exactly. It may be just a luxury luxury thing. I don't know. They just caught my eye because they look kind of cool and they I like them.
Maybe they're more expensive to manufacture, design, implement.
Right. So here's the kicker. In that when you look at the dash, especially in that center stack unit, there seems to be this big space right in front of the shifter, Manoli.
Yep.
Did that catch your eye at all? Did that you know, seem a little bit out of place, or is that, did that look normal?
It looked normal. It felt normal to me. And I also, I really liked the way this, the, even the stick feel in my hand. It was, it almost felt like it was too small. Like it was meant for, I don't know, basically someone with like maybe below average hands, size hands, but.
Sir, you have below average hands. You were not welcome in this bar.
No, okay, seriously. I have a question. Is the wood real?
Probably not.
That is a question I forgot to ask, sir.
Well, the reason I ask about that hole, that space in front of the shifter, is because, again, the cruise doesn't have that. And usually in a luxury, you know, or a, you know, entry-level luxury, whatever you want to call it, this is a luxury car. They're moving Buick up market. There aren't these storage compartments in the middle of nowhere. It's usually all flush, and you got to press something for a compartment door to open to reveal that compartment. So I'm just wondering, you know, this is something very similar as to the Chevy Equinox, where there's that huge, you know, water bottle compartment looking thing right in front of the shifter. I'm just wondering why they do that. But if it looks fine to you, I'll have to check that out. But it's, you know, it's one of the things that I wonder about.
This is a very pre-production model. I actually got yelled at for shifting the knob.
Ooh.
So.
Oh, that's, that's also a very good setup for that joke.
They didn't talk price for this car.
Exactly. Yeah, they didn't really disclose price.
I'm guessing starts at around $22,000
for the high output.
I'm sorry. For the turbo, probably be around 25, 26.
I'm thinking 28, 29.
Even better. Yeah.
It felt like at least almost a $30,000 car.
Okay.
The only gripes is that, like, compared to, say, if this was a Cadillac, there's maybe one too many plastic panels on it.
Okay.
For instance, the Buicks, the steering wheel still kind of it still kind of looks low grade.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's not, you know, the tilt and telescope is manual.
That's fine. The Lexus IS is like that. The Benz C-Class is like that. The 3 Series is all like that. And all the entry-level stuff, it's all manual. I'm fine with that. Well,
you're fine with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. The only other thing that's kind of weird to me is if you look
at... It does get a heated steering wheel, though. I mean,
good.
It's got that going
for it. That's interesting. If you look at the at picture 13 of 17 in our gallery... and the pictures that you took, Manoli, it's obvious that it uses a steering column from the cruise, and the cruise has the ignition or the keyhole. You know, it's kind of it comes out under an angle, but this thing doesn't have a key. It's a push button start.
Yeah, it's push button start.
So it's got this area where the key is supposed to go into, but it's plasticed off.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that too.
Really cheap.
That was really cheap looking as well. And hopefully they can find some way around it before they put this thing into production. Because that was a turnoff. I mean, it's just it looks like they didn't know what else to do, so they just slapped a cover on it. Maybe that's a solution that hopefully they're working on.
Okay, this is going to be produced where? At
in
Orion
Lake
Orion
Orion Orion Township Assembly with the Chevrolet Sonic.
Gotcha.
It's coming. It's going to be out by the beginning of the fourth quarter, late third quarter. Mm-hmm. No, fourth quarter.
Well, I have a question for you, Manoli. Remember how we were discussing this car and we were discussing it and over and over and over again? It was a topic of multiple GM Authority debate podcasts.
Yeah, something I absolutely hated at first.
So, what do you think?
It's grown on me.
All right. So, I think it's safe to say that I've won those debates.
No. It's grown on me in the fact that I don't hate it anymore.
You just can't accept defeat.
No, I can't. I'm Greek.
Oh man!
Look, the one thing I don't like about the Verano is the gas mileage. It's terrible,
and that's one thing that is crucial for Buick.
Yeah, and you got to think now because 40 is the new 30.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then again, we're also hearing that e-assist is supposed to be coming across the board. We saw it in the Regal at Chicago
which
as well.
Which we still need to talk about, by the way.
Yeah, we can talk. We can touch base on that. It's going to be a standard feature on the lacrosse, which is, you know, right on the money. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely perfect.
So let's just emphasize that the 2.4 liter Ecotec is not going to be available without the mild hybrid system.
Only on the lacrosse, but on the Regal, it's an option.
Exactly. Which is interesting because they seem to not have gone that route. Now, one last question about the Verano Turbo. I don't know if you got a chance to look at the driver's seat. Memory seat?
Or not? Did I take a picture of the door?
You did, but I don't see any buttons on there. I'm thinking that it would have been on the seat because in lacrosse, it's actually on that bottom, you know, on the right on the seat there. But the reason that the fuel mileage will be so important for this car and for Buick as a whole.
It's because it's a compact.
Well, not even that. But you have Cadillac that, you know, for all intents and purposes, shouldn't care about fuel economy. Cadillac should be about performance, you know, 0 to 60 times, amazing handling, and a spirited driving experience. Buick, on the other hand, should be the polar opposite. It should still be luxury, but it should have great fuel economy, you know.
Yeah, I think Buick should definitely take a more of an emphasis on hybrids than obviously Cadillac.
Right.
Which they're going to have an SRX hybrid.
Yes.
And they already have the Escalade hybrid.
Which really, come on.
Hey, it gets better city mileage than the Camry.
Doo-doo.
Right. Yeah.
We got shuttled around in Escalade hybrids.
Yeah.
Just after Buddy Guys.
Nice. I'm sure you enjoyed that.
I did. Get this. I was in the shuttle with Todd Lassa, and we were under the assumption that there would be more people coming into the shuttle, but it just kind of took off, and it was me, Kirill from Motor Trend, mm-hmm. and then there was Todd from Motor Trend, and Kirill right away took shotgun, and then Todd, being the nice guy that he is, crawled all the way into the third row, and mind you, this isn't the ESV model.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so like his knees were touching his nose.
Yeah,
and before we could even say anything, the driver took off and Todd was stuck in the third row by himself. I'm in the second row by myself and I'm just like, you know, we could just stretch out, I guess.
Yeah. Was he feeling lonely?
No. Todd's like, oh, I'm fine. And Krill's like, as the feeling slowly leaves his legs.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, the guys from Motor Trend guys, they were really nice to me and I appreciate that.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, well, we appreciate them quite a bit. So, Buick Regal E-Flex. I was going to call it E-Flex.
E-Flex.
E-Assist.
G minor. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. I don't even know what that means in terms of music. I have no musical talents.
Yeah, well, neither do I. Hilton, how about you? Musical about talents?
It. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Sure.
I have musical talents when I drive a car. It's called revving the engine.
But, that's more the car than you.
Man, I was really feeling good about myself about that. Now you have to bring me down.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Anyway, yeah. Regal with the assist. Same mileage output as the LaCrosse with the assist. Same engine, same BAS system. Belt alternator starting system. And you're going to get 37 on the highway. How much in the city?
I believe it's 40. 44?
No, it's not. In the city, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know. I it's funny because I wrote the post up, but you know what? I'll tell you right now. Why don't you keep going?
I got nothing, man. Well, it's a plain old Regal with the new belt. All
what else can you say?
That's it.
But it's got those special super duper white saving wheels. 37 highway.
Oh yeah, it's got the aluminum. It's got the aluminum wheels, just like the Cruze. 26 city. Okay, so yeah, I mean, and you're looking at what, like 30 combined.
Yeah. 29-30 combined.
Right. It has, here's something interesting, a driver selectable fuel economy optimizing mode. Say that four times quickly. For the air conditioning system.
I wonder if that turns the system off. Oh, it's for the air conditioning system.
That enables more frequent and longer duration engine stop periods. Make it that way you will. An eco gauge on the instrument panel. This is something that...
Everyone loves an eco gauge.
This is something that I've really watched closely because, as we all know, some of us do, the amount of driving efficiency in the real world is greatly impacted by the driver behavior. And if someone has got a lead foot, it doesn't matter if they're driving a hybrid, it doesn't matter if they're driving a diesel car, it doesn't matter if they're driving a gasoline engine, it doesn't matter if they're driving a butterfly fart-powered Prius, it's still going to get crappy fuel economy. So this is something that Ford has done really, really well. They have those, LED-looking or maybe it's LCD gauges that have the greener you drive, you get this green plant growing on your gauge. It's too
cheesy for words, really.
Yeah. Well, it's cool if you get to experience it for a week. It's nice.
I hate how they're like, sorry for yelling, but how it's like, oh, your eco-meter.
It's okay. You're Greek. It's okay.
Your eco-meter. You're this. You're that. It's like, why? I mean, I think they should just say like efficiency, whatever. And if you're and whatever, make a green needle or something at most.
Hey, eco is the the new black.
Yeah, but I mean, this.
I think 5 years from now, this is going to be on every car, and people are going to stop being so infatuated with the.
But it's already been on every car. I mean, my Yukon has it. It's called instant gas mileage average.
But Hilton. Yeah. Here's an interesting part.
It's not the point though that I'm trying to get at here. I'm just trying to say that it's going to be more of a second nature to the driver to look at a gauge like that, whether than it needs to have something like a green leaf or a green needle or some sort of.
I'm just waiting until
different colored ball that changes color, right, depending on your driving habits. I mean, I feel that in 5 years from now, hopefully that.
Well, that's fine. I mean, every car is eventually going to have direct injection and gasoline engines
I'm sick of.
Well, it's a little different. This thing is starting to tell you. It's like pretty soon, it's like saying pretty soon somebody's going to have to tell you what you do with a fork when somebody puts food in front of you.
Needs
it's
to be instructions.
Same sort of thing. I mean, it's not rocket science. If you want to drive efficiently, like, don't be heavy on the foot.
Well, Hilton, I'm waiting until the time where the eco gauges and eco panels start telling drivers to take their shoes off to drive more efficiently. That's the day I'm waiting for. I think that's called hypermiling. Well, you say that every car has those instant fuel economy gauges. You want to know something interesting?
The Cruise doesn't.
The Cruise doesn't. Only the Cruise Eco has it.
Hmm.
Isn't that a rip?
Yes, isn't that? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
What the heck?
I can go to a local speed shop and get a vacuum gauge and a little rubber hose and get you instant fuel efficiency. I can make one up for you.
I'm sure that will look really pretty in that beautiful Cruise interior.
It.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Especially if it's sitting like if it's not just glued at somewhere, it's just wobbling around and next to the passenger.
No, you get one of those, the auto meter set up with chrome back piece, and then we're gonna screw it down onto the heater cowl just in front of your windshield.
Oh,
between the hood and the windshield, and you look like the bomb coming down the road, man.
At least some people will think that I'm just a ricer and I have one of those really sick looking turbo gauges.
Exactly. I passed a pink Honda Civic on my way back today.
Oh, nice! Did you award them a rose of a flower for driving a beautiful car?
I didn't have any flowers.
See, you're just not the kind of person.
I know. I'm not. I just don't think of those courteous things all the time.
Yeah, yeah. That's the difference. coming back to that the Regal eAssist. It also has a, this is a quote, a powerful readout in the power flow readout in the 7-inch infotainment screen that shows the flow of energy through the electric assist system, such as battery charging from regeneration, electric power directed to the engine. This has to be one of the stupidest, most pointless things I've ever seen on a car. And I'm not just knocking the Regal for it because it's the Regal. This goes for every hybrid out there. Nobody cares where the power is coming from. The Escalade hybrid has it. The Tahoe hybrid has it. You know, the Prius has it. The stupid Honda stuff has it. It's ridiculous. It's getting to me where... Do you think the driver is going to look at this thing going 70 miles an hour and say, "Huh, look at that. The energy is coming from the gasoline engine." Well,
I
didn't
know.
Can you
turn it off?
Well, I'm sure you can probably switch to a different screen, but I'm just thinking, like, what's the point of this stuff?
I agree.
I think it's all just a preliminary thing to start educating the consumers and basic people who are like maybe interested in like maybe an EREV or an EV or PHEV into knowing how the car works. Yeah, maybe more than say your regular car.
I touched on this on my upcoming story on the Volt and what it means to society and. Do you want people to, do you want it to be a novelty type of car, or do you just want it to become your everyday car so that people, change their view on EVs in general to say, okay, well, I'm just getting in the car. I don't really care if it's a gas, a nice car or an EV car. I'm just going to get in it and go to where I need to go. And then, that's the kind of, what I would want to convey to the community is like, forget about the fact that it's an electric car. Mm-hmm. It's a car that'll get you from A to B, and here's why you should buy this product.
Right.
And story. I don't care. It's like you said, I personally don't care, whether I'm being as fuel efficient as possible or what source of power, where it's coming from.
Well, I just think that you got imagine the scenario. You got Sugar Mama driving at 9:30 in the morning to work, in her Buick LaCrosse E-Assist, and she's flipping through the radio stations and talking on her cell phone, and oh my God, my car is getting powered by the battery right now. How great. Boom. Here's an accident because she was looking at the display.
Not because she was on her phone?
And that. I mean, the whole combination is just the more distractions you have, and this stuff, I think.
Okay, Senator LaHood. Okay, Senator LaHood.
Listen, if it were voice activated, that would be a different story. And if it were HUD, that would.
What if it could read your mind? Yeah.
I'm just gonna let you hang on that one, man. I'm not even gonna.
How
say
about
anything.
Just like mind? How about just like brain waves or brain activity? So if you're driving in the morning and you look down and you see the meters at like 0.23%, then you should better pull out the revolver from underneath the seat and squeeze the trigger.
You know what this reminds me of? Those Mercedes commercials where it's like, my car was reading my body. I didn't know that I was falling asleep at the wheel.
Oh, God, did you see that stuff?
I hate those things.
What the heck is that?
I had no idea I was drifting into the other lane. How bad of a driver are you?
The best part is that they all those ads have that eerie sounding music.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, I don't know. Is this classical music? Is it jazz or is it blues? It may be hip hop or rap, but I think it's rock. It's kind of like that. It's those commercials freak me out. And I'm just wondering whether it's real people or actors. I'm thinking it's actors probably, but.
God, I hope so.
Jesus.
Actors that don't drive cars.
Well, no, they probably drive cars.
It's like, oh, my Mercedes saved my life. It's like, man. Yeah, because everyone can afford a Mercedes, especially the SL, 65 or an S5.
How about an SLS?
An SLS AMG. That was also at the show.
Yep. How did you like that?
Couldn't sit in it this time.
No?
No. You could sit in the
– did you need to pay him 5 francs?
By Franks. They also had the S 60. No, which was the S class AMG, the S 63.
65 and 63, they have both.
Yeah, they had the 63 there, and that thing just looks so mean.
I'm not really a fan of the current S class. I think that's one of the ugliest full size sedans out there right now.
Bull squash.
Ugh. You're just saying that to be argumentative.
Yeah, and I'm sleepy.
Well, sleepy we all are because it's getting kind of late, so we should probably let all these good people go. And guys, thank you so much for an excellent conversation. Thank you so much for being here to both of you.
One quick thing.
Yeah.
Which
we never talked about the Cadillacs.
Oh God, do you really want to talk about those? I mean, how much can you say about those? That beautiful paint job and that suede that we have.
How much better it is than the ZL1?
The ZL1 will always be better.
Well, I hear that paint's coming to the Camaro world.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping for maybe something a little bit more flashy, like maybe, you know, like how Dodge has their Furious Fuchsia for their Challenger, and I don't know. Maybe they should experiment more with bright colors for a Camaro.
Before we go, I want to hear from each of you. Which do you think was the best Super Bowl car commercial?
I don't think there's a question about that.
Besides M&M's 200 commercial, that hit a special spot with me because, you know, I live around the Motor
Guys,
City.
Yeah, but you know, could they have just, you know, maybe he could have got out of a 300.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the reason why he didn't get out of a 300 was because the 300 is built in Ontario.
So what?
Where the 200 is built in the suburb of Detroit.
So what? So what? It's still a Detroit company.
Yeah, the profit goes.
Actually, it's based in Auburn Hills.
Yeah, well,
all right. Five miles down the road.
But you know, the thing is, what turned me off on that commercial, everything was going fine until they said when he pulls up to that with that 200, and the announcer mentions the luxury of a 200. I'm like, oh,
what are you talking about?
He just called that Sebring a luxury car.
I know.
He just called the Sebring a luxury car.
Nice.
That could be the title of the show.
He just called the Sebring a luxury car. I love that. Well, and here's the thing. Why are they doing that? Are they trying to just boost the image and call the luxury car what a luxury car is not? What's the point there?
I don't know, but that's no...
It ain't a luxury car.
Verano. That's no Verano.
No.
I think they just want to... Chrysler just want people to maybe think about it more as a higher class.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's just a brand booster, you know. But even then, that's a fake brand booster. Like you want to boost your brand, for example... You know how Hyundai always compares their stuff to Mercedes and BMW?
Yeah.
That's a good brand booster, you know, because you're actually comparing something that obviously is not priced anywhere near those two other luxury German makes. You know, doesn't have the feature content, the driving experience, but it has more room than a 7 Series. You know, whatever. That's kind of a, you know, an interesting comparison, makes you think a little bit. But this thing? It's a Sebring.
It's a hey Alex. It's a more approachable luxury.
Oh my God.
And on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen.
On that note,
my favorite commercial was actually the Volkswagen commercial with the Darth Vader kid, because that reminded me so much of my childhood. Me and my little brother Nick, we would dress up like Darth Vader and Jedi and Sith, and we would wear blankets, you know, and pretend that was like our evil cloaks, and we wear buckets on our heads. Sometimes the buckets weren't always clean, and we'd use meter sticks as lightsabers. And I tell you what, man, we had a hell of imagination when we were
kids. In fact, Manoli, this is, you know, you may not want me saying this publicly, but he still does that.
Well, that commercial, that ended up, I think, winning the fan vote. From various websites, and actually in the Volkswagen launch presentation, they spoke about the success of that commercial, as well as that the Beetle one. You know, it was talking about the upcoming 2012 Beetle, which I didn't like that commercial. I thought it was stupid. Yeah, I mean, music's good, but everything else is stupid.
That's going to be my next car after the cruise.
2012 really? Beetle. No.
But, you know, yeah, that Darth Vader thing, obviously, it was a hit. But one thing that was interesting is that the president of Volkswagen North America spoke about the impact that that commercial had to the company with respect to the exposure. And they just talked about everything from how many people saw that commercial at the Super Bowl to, you know, how many millions of people had watched that video on YouTube in the 24 hours since the commercial, and just huge, huge exposure. So good on them for coming out with something that was a hit to the market.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think for a non-car commercial, I kind of like that Doritos commercial where, you know, he's going around and, you know, he's like pulling a Doritos out and trying to make everything, he screws up everything, and then at his buddy's house while his buddy's away.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Drop, and then he, you know, when he breaks stuff and he, you know, puts a Dorito on it and it comes about, you know, fixes things. So just before his buddy comes home, he cleans up this guy's house, and then he knocks his grandfather's ashes.
Urn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Urn breaks off the urn. Mantle.
Yeah. And so the guy walks in the door and he just throws a Dorito down on the urn. And then, you know, the camera flashes back to him and there's his grandfather alive, you know? So that was kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah. But that unfortunately that 200 commercial, and granted, listen, I'm not from Detroit. I'm not from Michigan. I've only been there a few times. You know, hopefully that will change soon. But that commercial just, it did wonders for me. It made me feel, and this is funny because I'm a Russian-born American. I guess you can call me that. But it made me feel some kind of, you know, nationalistic pride, if you will.
Well, you know, the one thing I find that is, like, for me, when I go to Detroit, I get angry, to be honest. I get angry that, you know, it's such a jewel that people don't realize. Mm-hmm. The buildings are there that are just amazing architecture.
Mm-hmm. Centuries old, too, some of them.
Oh, just beautiful. You could not build some of these buildings today. It's just impossible to do. And people are, you know, the stuff is sitting there boarded up, and you got the crackheads living in the things. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. I just can't believe it. I can't believe that, you know, what those, you know, I can't believe Detroit is ignored by the rest of the country, to be honest. Yeah. It's a jewel that people just, you know, I mean, I look at that, and you got all these high-tech companies who are paying crazy money in these cities like San Jose and even Toronto.
It's, San Francisco. It's just
San Francisco, like crazy money, Los Angeles. And the people that work in these high-tech companies have to go and pay crazy money to live mm-hmm. in a decent house. Well, you know what $300,000 buys you in the suburbs of Detroit, in the safe cities,
yeah,
in the safe neighborhoods, you know? So,
pretty sure,
you know, yeah, like, you know, it's just a matter of the city getting together with the, you know, well, I must say the automotive companies are starting to get more involved in the educational level. Well,
especially GM.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I know that Mark Royce, it's dear to his heart. He knows how important it is. I've seen him speak on the topic, and so it's really nice to see. And it is important for those companies in the future. You know, if you're investing in education, hopefully, you know, you're going to get more kids that are inspired to be engineers or techies or designers or what have you, and you know, will eventually come to work for you. So.
They gotta get out of the lifestyle first that's around them. There's so many problems in Detroit. I mean, we could spend another 2 hours talking about Detroit, but I mean, it's like there. Sometimes you just don't know where to start with that city. But I love it, and especially with Chrysler's slogan imported from Detroit is probably the best the best tag I've ever read, heard, seen, hands down, period. Absolutely loved it. And immediately people were calling it to be on some t-shirts, but Chrysler trademarked the logo, so
the slogan.
I'm sorry, yeah, the slogan.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's too bad that GM didn't, you know, grab that opportunity, because, like you said, Manoli, technically they're the only ones from Detroit.
Yeah, well, you know? I'll tell you, and Manoli, we talked about this as soon as that commercial aired.
Hold on a second, Alex, sorry. GM didn't recruit the same agency that developed Nike's Just Do It campaign. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
But that ad, that slogan, should have been a GM ad and a GM slogan. I don't know whether it should have been. I think it would have been more of a Cadillac slogan.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Cadillac. I would probably have shit a brick if that was a Cadillac.
Can you imagine that? Could you imagine if that just flow? It doesn't work with Chrysler, all right? It works with Cadillac, imported from Detroit. Can you imagine that on a Caddy?
Awesome. Oh, man. Ugh. Yeah, standard of the world. Yeah, I mean, I like that they're playing homage to back, you know, to their old, trademark, you know, their slogan when they, it was everywhere, but imported from Detroit. Because if you think about it, like, that would just give so much, like, more of an aura to, like, the Cadillac brand as a luxury brand, like, and how it speaks to, like, a different person than, say, someone who typically buys a German-born luxury car.
Absolutely, it does wonders.
It would do absolutely wonders.
It speaks to people on such different levels. First of all, you have, you know, imported. Oh crap! It's really not imported, so it's actually a play on words. All right. Once we get past that, it's got a deep connotation.
Detroit is like such a, I mean, compared to the rest of the United States, everyone just kind of sees it as like Mars, really. They're like, how the hell do these people function over there? And, you know, to a degree, a lot of people see, you know, when I tell someone that I'm, you know, from Detroit or nearby Detroit, or, you know, Detroit's my favorite city to hang out in, they all look at me like I'm possessed, or I'm, you know, like I'm a little crazy all of a sudden.
Well, you must be on drugs.
Must be. I'm from Detroit. I mean, hell, I probably have an ounce on me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they do clean up Detroit, where is A&E's The First 48 going to get their shows from?
Well, that's a good point.
Well, who's gonna want to? They won't be able to film any more movies describing like a cataclysmic environment,
or they won't be able to do any more of those super duper cops series.
Detroit 187.
Yeah. So
I actually like that show.
Yeah, I only watched one episode so far.
I hope it gets a second season.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Now it's been a very great conversation. Thank you both so much for being here. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for listening. As we do at the end of every show, let's welcome Mr. Bob Lutz to join us here next time on the GM Authority Weekly Show. We can talk about Detroit. We can talk about, we can talk about cars. We can talk about planes, cigars. In fact, I think Hilton will actually bring some, I think.
I'll bring some cigars.
Yeah, bring some cigars. I'll smoke
and, them with you. And, you know, we're not going to – plus, we've got some great beer, not that domestic stuff. Manoli has got some great Greek beer. It's like no preservatives, the real stuff. You'll love it.
Well, so do I. I mean, you want to speak about beers.
Then I love talking about planes.
Russians are the guys who's – obviously, we have the vodka, but
– You guys have straight vodka, and that's it.
No. Our
single
beers,
distilled – straight vodka.
Our beers are the best. Baltica, if you ever have a chance to
I've heard of Baltica.
Oh, it is the best. It's the best. I swear by it. In fact, I'm looking for a store around here in Colorado Springs that sells some import stuff. So and that is imported from Russia. So
But vodka is still the thing for Russia.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like a quick vodka story for you guys before we go.
Okay.
So I'm 12 years old. Okay. Okay, it's not me. I'm 12 years old. We go to this family barbecue at one of my dad's friend's place. And there's a couple of GM guys there since retired, and there were some Russians there. And anyways, it was a great time, and somebody had some alcohol, and the Russians were like, "This vodka is crap." He says, "Why don't you guys, you know, drive me?" They, for some reason, they didn't have their car there. They said, "Why don't you guys drive us to our house, and we'll bring some good vodka. We'll show you what really good vodka is." So there was this guy from Texas, and he was some oil baron guy, and he had this big Lincoln Continental. And, you know, I was a car, you know, even 12 years old, I was a car kid. And, you know, these Continentals, I mean, they were boats, but inside it was like, I mean, it was like,
there was nowhere to go.
It was like it was just like a limo, you know? So the guys come out, the Russians come out with this Texas guy, and they see me oogling over his Lincoln, and they said, "Well, you want to come with us? We're going to go for a ride." And they said, "Yeah, right on, let's go." So we take off to these Russian guys' house. They go into the garage, and they open up the fridge in there, and they pull out three bottles of this vodka out of the freezer. They come in, but get back in the car, and they say, "Oh, that's a good vodka right there." And so I didn't know what the heck it was, but basically they brought it back. I thought it was the first time I ever saw alcohol being stored in the freezer, and I thought that was really weird.
Yep.
And we go back to the garage. We go back to this barbecue, family barbecue. Well, you know, after 2 hours, a lot of those adults were sleeping. So, you know, there is good quality stuff and there's bad quality stuff. You just gotta know where to go.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. There's
so the moral of the story: when you're looking for vodka, ask a Russian.
Exactly.
Totally.
And guess who the Russian is in this conversation?
You know what? Anytime they pull out, when you're at somebody's place, they pull out the vodka out of the freezer, you're getting some good stuff.
Exactly. You know what else is good stuff? Facebook.com/GM Authority. Also, Twitter.com/GM Authority. And this is also coming from a Russian. But, you know, as we always ask at the end of every show, if you could leave us a review in the iTunes store, that would be incredible. And in fact, if you do, there may be some vodka in it for you. And little did I know, I'm a poet as well. So thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for listening. And if you want to find the show notes, they are at weekly.gmauthority.com. And if you'd like to write in, you can do so and write into podcast@gmauthority.com. And you can also call us at 313-355-3GMA. That's 313-355-3GMA. Over and out. The general has been served. Go, come in.
Ready?
All right, Mr. Editor-in-Chief, I see how refined you are. Just for that, we're gonna have to take the in chief out.
We should open with that.
No, we shouldn't. But I do have it recorded. I'm gonna put it in the end.
Okay, let's close with it.
I'm gonna put it in the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now, what do you close out with usually?
The general has been served. A nice big burp.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yes.
Okay, go.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Please rate the show in the iTunes store. Head on over to iTunes and search for GM Authority Weekly.